Midas. The Ugly Stranger. In due time, Gordius died, and Midas succeeded him as king. His life was simple but elegant. Most of Midas's time and money, Phrygia was not an especially rich kingdom, had been lavished on a magnificent rose garden in the palace grounds, one of the wonders of the age. Midas loved nothing more than to roam this paradise of colour and fragrance and tend to his plants, each one of which bore 60 glorious blossoms. One morning, as he wandered the garden, noting with habitual delight how exquisitely the beads of dew twinkled on the delicate petals of his darling roses, he tripped over the slumbering form of an ugly, pot-bellied old man, curled up on the ground and snoring like a pig. "Oh," said Midas, "I'm so sorry, I didn't see you there." With a belch and a hiccup, the old man rose to his feet and bowed low.
"Beg pardon," he said. "Couldn't help but be drawn by the sweet scent of your roses last night. Fell asleep."
"Not at all," said Midas politely. He had been brought up always to show respect for his elders. "But why don't you come into the palace and partake of some breakfast?"
"Don't mind if I do. Handsome of you."
Midas had no way of knowing that this ugly, pot-bellied old man was Silenus, boon companion of the wine god Dionysus. "Perhaps you would like a bath," he suggested, as they made their way indoors.
"What for?"
"Oh, nothing, just a thought." Silenus stayed for 10 days and 10 nights, making deep inroads into Midas's meagre cellar, but rewarding him with outrageous songs, dances, and stories. On the 10th night, Silenus announced that he would be leaving the next morning.
"My master will be pining for me," he said. "Don't suppose your people could conduct me to him, could they?"
"With pleasure," said Midas. The next day, Midas and his retinue led Silenus on the long journey to the southern vineyards that Dionysus liked to frequent at that time of year. After many hours of struggling through the heat and tangle of choked lanes, steep hills, and narrow byways, they came upon the wine god and his attendants picnicking in a field. Dionysus was overjoyed to see his old friend.
"Wine tastes sour without you," he said. "Dances go wrong, and music falls flat on the ears. Where have you been?"
"I got lost," said Silenus. "This kind fellow," he pushed the reluctant Midas forward to face the god, "took me into his palace and gave me the run of the place. I drank most of his wine, ate most of his food, pissed in his water jars, and sicked up over his silk cushions. Never complained. Thoroughly good soul."
Silenus slapped Midas on the back. Midas smiled as best he could. He hadn't known about the water jars and the silk cushions. Dionysus, like many deep drinkers, could easily become very emotional and affectionate. He pawed gratefully at Midas.
"You see," he declared to the world in general, "you see? Just when you lose faith in humanity, they show their worth like this. This is what my father means by Xenia. Makes my heart burst.
Name it." "Excuse me?" Midas was keen to leave. 10 days and nights of Silenus had been quite enough. He yearned now to be alone with his flowers. A drunken Dionysus with a full entourage of maenads and satyrs might just be too much even for his patience.
"Name your reward. Anything. Whatever you desire, I will providedly divine."
"Which is to say," Dionysus amended with dignity, "I will divinely provide.
So there, he added belligerently, turning suddenly round to face off no one in particular.
"You mean, my lord, that I can ask anything of you?
Which of us has not entertained joyous fantasies of genies and fairies granting us wishes? I am sorry to say that at this offer from Dionysus, Midas had rather a rush of blood to the head. I have mentioned that Phrygia was one of the poorer kingdoms, and while Midas was not considered by his friends to be rapacious or avaricious, he did long, like any ruler, for more money to spend on his armies, his palace, his subjects, and his municipal amenities. The expenses of a royal household mount up, and Midas had always been too benevolent a king to burden his people with heavy taxes. And so he found a most extraordinary wish making its way from his fevered brain to his mouth. "Then I ask this," he said, "that everything I touch be turned to gold." Dionysus smiled a rather diabolical smile.
"Really? That's what you want?"
"That is what I want."
"Go home," said the god. "Bathe yourself in wine and go to bed. When you arise in the morning, your wish will be granted."